Good evening. Tonight, I guess we could say the title is God Loves You No Matter What. And kind of working on some things here to share with us tonight. And I, virtue of having that car accident last night, and I'm fine. It's like, you know, I mean, God so covers me so many times with His mercy and protection. He has favor on me. He has favor on you. Doesn't mean we don't have trials and struggles, but it's just like, I am such a failure so many times, you know, and yet He loves me. He pours it out, and I just kind of wanted to share some things along that line. God loves you no matter what, but we can't ever misunderstand that. It's not an excuse to sin. Just go ahead and blubber on through whatever you're doing, but He wants to get a message across to us that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, He loves you now. Come to Him and get Him inside of you, and He will love you forever. It's absolutely powerful. But I just wanted to kind of go over a couple of things here. The next time you think that God doesn't love you, or I'm an idiot, and He can't use me, I want you to think on a couple of things. And these are all from the Scriptures. And Abraham was too old. I mean, the world is like, you know, he's too old. Nothing's going to happen here, but certainly a whole lot did happen. So you're never too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. A lot of daydreamers out there. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. I mean, so to speak, you know, because he was like second choice or something, you know. U-G-L-Y, you ain't gonna... You're ugly. Joseph was abused. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. And yet God used so many of each one of these. He used them. He doesn't look to what your brokenness is because He knows you're broken because of what Adam did, but every single thing can be changed in Jesus. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. So don't feel badly when you kind of fall asleep in church. Just don't do it too often, you know, or while you're praying. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. And Lazarus, for crying out loud, was dead. I mean, it's really this stuff. As I look, I just read over this stuff, and I go over this stuff, and over the years, you go and you look at this, and I go, that's kind of what struck me so many times. Like, God looks around and chooses the weakest and the worst sometimes to use as examples, and so don't beat yourself up when you fail, but don't stay down. And don't get surprised when we fail each other or someone fails you. Quit beating each other up. God isn't beating us. He's not stripping us of anything. He's like, that's it. That's it. 10 times, you're done. He told them. How many times do you have to forgive? They said, you forgive 7 times? Because in the Jewish law, 7 times is like big. If you forgave someone 7 times, you fulfill the law 100 times over. He said, I'm telling you, 70 times 7. He used the hyperbole. He didn't give it to you as a numerical number that once you get to 490, you don't have to forgive someone anymore. He was using it to show you, you have to do this all the time. So no matter what's going on, so even though we have some of these examples of people who might be trash, who did wrong things, who knew God and loved Him and still sinned, but they repented. And they went back to Him. And that's what He keeps saying. Come back to Me. I know you're broken. Every time you come back, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to change you. And you're going to be able to go on from here. Now, God is love. And these are just a few scriptures to remind us. The adversary wants us to forget that. He wants us to be ashamed of ourselves. He wants us to have a shame-based nature. He wants us to be guilty. He wants us to be overbearing. He wants us to be arrogant. He wants us to give excuse for our sin. All this junk. Don't think on what the liar is telling you. Don't think on what the world and the flesh is telling you. Set your affections on things above. Think on these things, God says. And in 1 Peter 4:8, love covers a multitude of sin. Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy. 1 Corinthians 14:1, he tells you, pursue love. This is an active activity here. It's active. It's an active endeavor. It's not something that gets sprinkled on you when you're saved. You got to keep putting yourself away, dying to the flesh, that the real love that God's talking about can come out. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I have lived long enough to see God has given me ample opportunities to practice. Every time we fail in an area, God is not angry. Oh, the people you failed are. But God isn't. He uses it as an opportunity to say, this is what you need to get better at. You're weak in this point. You fail in this point. So I need to make sure that we get to practice that more. And He will, whatever we fail in. If somebody's aggravating you to death, I guarantee half the time it's not that person that has a problem, it's you with your aggravation. And if that person still has that problem, that's between them and God. What is your reaction to their action? That's what God is saying. What is your reaction to their non-love? What's your reaction to their sin? Well, we have Jesus as the example. His reaction to my sin is not to throw me away. Sometimes when I get, you know, just because you're not robbing a bank doesn't mean you haven't sinned. You know, you can be angry. You can be impatient. You can be unforgiving. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things you can be. And I feel so badly when I do that. God, I am so sorry. And sometimes when I really mess up, instead of God slapping me around and punishing me, very often, I don't know about you, but He'll pour a blessing on me. And I feel even worse. I go, oh, God. But I thank Him. Because what He's doing is He shows me over and over and over again, you can't hurt me, Linda. You can't hurt me. I love you more than anything you can do because I see your heart. Your heart really wants to serve me. And I'm not offended when you trip up. I don't want you to practice that, but I'm going to teach you me. And that's what's so powerful. Galatians 5:13, through love, serve one another. Hebrews 13:1, let the love of the brethren continue. 1 John 4:7, love is from God. Very important point. We're going to cover that in just a minute. Love is from God. And Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's not every reference at all. These are just to give us a little handle on it. Love is a cornerstone. Because love does cover a multitude of sins. It never says it gives excuse. It means that it stops you from being angry about it. It stops you from being unforgiving. It stops you from being offended. And I can't do that. I don't have that kind of love. It's only God's love, His nature in me, ruling me at that moment, at that millisecond, that can possibly happen. Now, God's kind of love is the 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 love. And just a quick reference. It's patient. So it's not that squishy stuff. It's patient. The love He's talking about us to do one to another, it is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. That means that all the SF guys are in deep trouble. No. God's kind of love, when He talks about love, is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It rejoices with the truth, not unrighteousness. It bears all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Well, I look at that. God says, this is what it is. This is what God is. You do not have that ability. I do not have that ability. I cannot meet that measure. I come up a little bit to it, but at a certain point, I just can't get beyond that. I am not at the level of God. My broken nature can never do this. So, what do I have to do to meet that measure? God doesn't mind. He brings things our way so that we can see that we are not bearing all things. He will bring and construct circumstances, people, places, and things, not to crush us, not to embarrass us, but to show us, in that moment that you're not meeting that measure, that's your red light flashing. All that means is that in that moment of time, you're letting the Adam nature rule. It will never bring you to success. It'll never bring harmony. It'll never bring forgiveness. It'll never remedy whatever the wrong is that's going on. So all you have to do is start getting used to these signs and symptoms. It's like being a diabetic and having a disease. It's like realizing when you had a little low on sugar here. We need to realize God's kind of love is all of those things. And anything in our lives, whatever it is, whether it's a conversation, a thought, a feeling, an action, if it doesn't meet that measure, all that is the signal. That's the Adam nature. That's the sin nature. It is not going to go well. We need to stop it, turn it off. I resist that. I reject that. And I ask your nature to rise up in me. I give you deference, God. I give you total control. Come out from me in this moment. We start, now that takes practice. That isn't something you do automatically. You have to force yourself to stop the argument. Force yourself to stop the feeling. Force yourself to stop the vain imagination. Whatever it is that's attacking you at the moment. And stop the Adam nature from ruling you at that time, because it will go nowhere. That is the only way to get there. And boy, I tell you, that is the remedy to everything, whether it's relationship or anything. It gives you the wisdom. It gives you what every single thing that comes to all the things of God. Now, what God sees and prefers. This is just a couple of little things I have compiled over. You know, I had a little list of these things. I wanted to share some of them with us. God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. And I really want us to, God has blessed us here. Our precious little congregation, we have not gone into the religiousness realm. We've gone into the relationship realm to encourage everyone. This is your walk with Jesus Christ. There's no key to happiness because the door is always open. You either go through it or you don't. Do the math. Count your blessings. This is what God's looking for. Faith is the ability to not panic. Silence is another one. Remember how God says, slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen? Silence is often misinterpreted, but it can never be misquoted. What was the old thing, that old saying from, I think it was attributed to Abraham Lincoln. He said, better to be quiet and thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. You know, so we really need to be careful on that. Laugh every day. It's like inner jogging. Mm-hmm. If you worry, you didn't pray. If you pray, then don't worry. Mm-hmm. As a child of God, prayer is kind of like calling home every day. I like that. See, we forget, especially as adults. I mean, you've been through life. You've been through things. You've made decisions. You've been in control. You've had to do this. You've gone through all sorts of things. But we're children to God. We are children. We are in need of discipline. We are in need of direction. We are in need of protection and nurture and help. And we forget that sometimes. So prayer is like calling home every day. And also, blessed are the flexible, for they'll not be bent out of shape. You see, the Spirit of God is like the wind. It's a breath. It's a real. It's a flow. And that can't be bent. You can't bend the wind. So when you have the Spirit of God going within, that's what's so important. Now, the important things in your life are the people. And Jesus absolutely showed that. A grudge is a heavy thing to carry. And he who dies with the most toys is still dead. So what's your pursuit going to be? For all the things here physically that you can count up, add up, and show? Or for the things that are so more important in terms of your soul, serving God and serving others. Only God's kind of love can do what we've talked about here tonight. And it's short. I just want to have a brief little review for us here. Only with God in you can you love as he says to love. And he loves you no matter what. So make sure you love him no matter what. Now at this point, I was going to have a little discussion here with our group and those of you who might be listening at home. You have a discussion with your group. What great things has God done for you even when you haven't been so great to him? So you guys at home, you go ahead and do that. I'm going to sign off here.